Welcome to Seize the GM. I'm your host, Zendad.
I'm your co-host, Jules.
And I'm Null Operations.
Have you ever had a great idea for a campaign? Do you have a bunch of friends who want to play an RPG but have no one to run it?
Do you want to see what the world is like behind the GM screen instead of in front of it? Well, we're here to help you do just that.
Each week, the three of us will be discussing various GMing topics. Terminology, maps, atmosphere, world building, you name it. So sit back and relax, and let us help you improve your art of GMing, one show at a time.
Banter, banter, banter. And we are entering the banter segment.
Wrong liver!
Live from New Knoxville, Tampa, and...
right outside D.C. metro area.
Yeah.
New Knoxville. That's like the type of thing I would, like, name a space station or some, like, city on another planet.
Maybe. I would, because Knoxville is actually pretty freaking awesome. Especially if you like trees.
So how's space Knoxville, then?
Well, there would not be as many trees, I'm going to guess.
Space
but
trees?
If you haven't guessed by
like
now...
space Australia.
We are in the banter section, guys.
Duh.
So, this week has been mighty crazy with the holidays coming up. So, what have you guys been up to?
Madness, computer technical issues, things breaking, hair on fire, and, you know, that the usual.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Burning hair stinks, dude.
Well, not literal burning hair, but, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, with us and with your hair, and my husband has long hair, it's all long, I know, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a week of technical issues for me.
You know what? I feel you there.
So I hear.
Yeah, my desktop died. I'm not sure if the hard drive is actually fried or not, but that's neither here nor there. But then yesterday when I went to go move all of my stuff onto my wife's desktop, I found that my power cord for my mixer, the transformer, blew.
Was it an Autobot or?
It was honestly a Decepticon because it wanted to work and then it died.
So it's fucking Starscream.
Yeah.
Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal.
Yeah, it was horrible.
They're mixing so many genres.
I know.
Does it matter?
Best. But that is actually one of the best things about the setting that we're going to actually talk about this evening, which is sci-fi. And that is that you can actually mix those bad boys, like sci-fi, into so many other things. And so many other things into your sci-fi.
And enjoy your nanoprocessor slurry.
Yes. Because actually, there's people that don't like, you know, ray guns in their fantasy.
What? Why? Why would they
I don't.
Not?
I'm not a fan of, but I mean, of that whole...
half of the combat spells from wizards are rays anyway.
Yes, but that is a spell, not a ray gun that can just shoot and kill things.
Look, 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 I've seen Outlaw Star. I know casters are a type of gun.
That's for damn sure. You know, but the thing is, like, you know, also when you think of sci-fi, the pew-pew lasers, you gotta have the pew-pew lasers.
Sure.
You can.
You know, it, at least...
If you're gonna have lasers, because that is not all sci-fi, because sci-fi could also be that dark, dystopic, you know, near future, which is still sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, more Deus Ex and less
cyberpunk.
Star Wars.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
I mean, less Star Wars. Less...
Well, I mean, to go to the ferment of it all, truth be told, what we consider modern day to when many of the RPGs we play were first made, what we do nowadays would be considered a sci-fi setting.
Well, yes. And some of those sci-fi settings have actually... Those dates have come and passed.
Mm-hmm. Well, we all have comics already.
Yes, but, I mean, I'm talking specifically...
Comlinks, tricorders, communicators.
Well, the original cyberpunk was over 3 years ago.
Well, the original Shadow.
2013.
Oh, yeah, cyberpunk. Yeah, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, the original cyberpunk was 2013, which was 3 years ago. Almost four.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, it's... Now it is considered alternate timeline gaming.
Mm-hmm.
If you use the original.
Yep.
So.
Which is kind of funny if you, you know, all right, Star Wars, it is sci-fi, but it's a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. You know, Star Trek, really far in the future.
Well, to be fair, Star Wars is science fantasy.
It is science fantasy.
True.
It is the blending of science fiction and fantasy at its most core levels.
That is true. That is true. But at least pretty much if you want to give somebody like a quick, you know, and they're like, if they say Star Wars, you're like, yeah, 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 yeah. Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, because it's a cultural thing that everybody knows that Star Wars is science fiction, even though anybody that really understands it knows that that's not at all what it really is. I mean, the most powerful thing in Star Wars is the Force, which is a magical ability that only a few people have, and they all use, and all the people that use it use swords. You know, it's as fantasy as it gets.
Yeah, but if a lot of people, you know, they'll bring up pretty much if they want to understand, they'll say Star Trek or Star Wars ? And yeah. It's usually for that, it's close enough to jazz. So that way they're like, oh, okay. And then you can kind of push them. And then as they get a bigger understanding, they are able to, it's like, okay, just because it's in space in with big ships and lasers doesn't mean it's not fantasy thing.
Sure. Just like, you know, everybody loves Firefly, and technically Firefly is a Western. It's
space Western.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a space Western.
Yep.
I mean, it's still science fiction, but it's that blending.
Yep.
Science fiction does blendings of things very, very well because it can take anything that's earlier than itself.
Well, it's almost like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, bacon. You can put it in with almost any type of food and it'll work. Almost.
Well, that's sort of
That's a lie. Bacon can be used in all food.
He's right. It's true. But that's a...
not exactly, but close enough.
Name one thing.
That bacon can't go with?
Name one thing.
I know it exists.
I've had bacon ice cream.
Huh?
I've had bacon and ice cream.
Bacon parfait.
I've had bacon and parfaits.
Yeah, bacon, there's...
Yes, it works.
Yeah, because the sweet and the salt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bacon on donuts is brilliant, by the way.
See?
I only had that about a month ago.
If it can go on a donut, it can go in a parfait. Because everybody loves parfaits.
So that's it.
That's true.
Get me back on topic.
Oh, thank you. I actually almost did not get the Shrek reference for a second.
Getting back on topic.
Yep. Yeah.
That is one of the kind of themes that we've been kind of discussing these past three episodes, in that science fiction we're marking as a setting here, but it is kind of things that mixes between genre and settings, and that is the fun of this and fantasy and modern that we've talked about, in that all of them can kind of influence things that don't quite normally...
There's so much inbreeding between the genres, you know, there's so much crossbreeding, you're like, you know, like, alright, I'm pulling up a video game, Transistor,
mm-hmm.
science fiction noir,
mm-hmm.
and probably with some art deco aesthetics thrown in, You know, you said Firefly is a space western. Star Trek is a lot more, it's a utopian sci-fi.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, there's a lot of fights. Yeah, but the Federation kind of itself, like the Enterprise.
Remember, the original description of Star Trek was wagon train to the stars.
It was exploration.
Uh-huh. Yep. It was built as, you know, the same kind of mixed genre thing.
Yep, but then you started getting, when you bring in DS9, you get
political.
You get science fiction politicking, mm-hmm. which is, oh my god.
It works.
Oh yeah. And then it just, sorry, one of my most favorite characters, Garak, comes from that. Is you're just like, he's a tailor. What else can he do?
Yeah.
One of the, it was creepy political intrigue in sci-fi, which was kind of cool. And the nice thing with sci-fi is it allows you to frame a whole bunch of just different topics, different subjects, different ideals, and you're actually able to deep dive, explore these things. And, you know, it allows you to say, okay, what if in the future? Well, you know, you could see super duper awesome, or you could see the world of Cyberpunk 2020.
Well, that's kind of the formation or foundation of science fiction and literature and things like that, is to take a look at what could be and kind of realize, you know, here's the caution of that, here's the possibility of that.
Were the trigger points.
Yeah. You know, after
you
all,
know,
like,
these were the
trigger
points
back,
were good.
Well, to go back to, like, you know, the original science fiction novel, Frankenstein, you know, Mary Shelley saw, you know, dead animals being electrocuted as part of a show or whatever and wrote a book about bringing somebody back to life with that science.
Yeah.
And you go into H.G. Wells, and you see in, like, The Time Machine, you know, the split of the classes, you know, with the Eloi and the Morlocks, or War of the Worlds,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
And,
the Invasion.
Mm-hmm. And there's so many different, like, prolific, like, science fiction, like, authors like Asimov, which gave, you know, a robotics, Philip K. Dick, of what is reality, virtual reality. You know, we can remember it for you wholesale, or do androids dream of electric sheep, a.k.a. Blade Runner.
Side note, Blade Runner is only 3 years away from happening.
Don't remember.
2019.
I know. Yeah. I remember seeing it, too. I was just like, oh, that is the coolest looking thing, and now I'm like,
where's my flying car, damn it?
I don't mm-hmm. want people having flying cars.
Oh, I do. That'll clear up a lot of the population problem.
Yeah.
See, that's why I don't want people having flying cars. Unless they're completely automated, I don't want people trying to manually
fly. Because
they
might hit you.
Well, they might hit my house.
That's what Tesla's doing. That's what Tesla's doing. He's making all of those things work.
Yep. But the thing is also, if you look at older sci-fi, and I will bring up Star Trek because, of course, the communicators.
Mm-hmm.
We have those now. It's actually kind of interesting if you look at what past sci-fi saw as the future and what we have. It's really interesting to see what they projected.
Oh, yeah, and how close they actually were.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you get...
I mean, because think about, like, Next Gen when everybody's, like, you know, and they're walking around with, like, their little tablets.
Oh, yeah. And they were called pads, P-A-D-D.
They were called pads, yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, they were using tablets before tablets existed, like, decades before they existed.
Exactly. But here's some of the interesting thing. The aesthetics of our current tablets are influenced by it.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the VR where they use... And they use, like, when they're building something for a VR setting, they originally were doing, like, a black and white checkerboard, like, or a chessboard thing. And everyone hated the aesthetic. And so they went to the orange line and black background of what the holodeck is. And that's the framework they use for a lot of building of VR stuff, which is really funny. I'm like, wow, okay, it influenced that much that doing it in... Like before Star Trek came, you know, they probably would have been fine with it, but they liked that other aesthetic. they can visualize in it better because of that, which is kind of neat. It's like, what's in sci-fi now? What, you know, like what they see the future as. And then when we start getting technology close to that, we use that as a framework. And it's really kind of neat to see that.
Yeah.
Now, we could go on for this for hours, but how does this relate to role-playing games?
Well, there's a lot of games that are actually geared completely and totally in science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
It is a genre of games, not just RPGs, but also war games.
True.
Warhammer 40K?
Yep, that's the big one. That's the 10,000-pound gorilla in the room when it comes to that.
Hey, this is where we get the red ones go faster. It's still, hey, it's awesome just because of that.
And, I mean, there are tons and tons of games. Shadowrun, which, you know, all three of us are involved in.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Cyberpunk as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Apocalypse World.
No, we're not all involved in that one as much, but Apocalypse World.
The aforementioned Firefly RPG.
Yeah. There was another one that was from... God, I cannot remember the name of the company that made it. But there was a game called Star Aces.
Oh, I remember that one.
And it had one of the first truly furry races that you could play, and it was like a cat race or something, I think. And they had an energy form. Like, they had a life form that was energy-based.
Was it a Hulu?
No. Now, I don't remember what it was, but it was just interesting that they used to have, they had these things. That game had, like, thought of, like, things that were not just carbon-based life forms.
Right. Neat.
Yep.
Star Frontiers.
Mm-hmm. Gamma World.
Gamma World.
Red Dwarf RPG.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Doctor Who RPG, if we're talking time travel.
Mech Warrior.
Also, Mech Warrior, yeah.
Mech Warrior.
Judge Dredd.
Yes.
Judge Dredd, the RPG. Oh, which is weird. But...
Also, there is another one that...
Mutant Chronicles. Thank you, Brain.
Yes, there's that. I was also thinking of Battlelords of the 23rd Century, which is god-awful, but it's hilarious. It's vaguely based on something similar to a Palladium system. And speaking of Palladium, there's Rifts.
Rifts, yeah.
That's more horror.
No, Rifts is not horror. It's science fiction.
Well, it could be horror. Like,
I talked to one of the... Way back in the days, I actually talked to one of the creators. It's supposed to be a horror setting.
Oh, yeah, well, they failed horribly at that, and they made it into a science fiction hodgepodge.
A lot of science fiction settings are also other settings. Like, we could make the argument that a lot of the superhero settings, a lot of them have very scientific tropes, or sci-fi tropes in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, half the powers come from things blowing up, and you get, you know, superpowers out of it.
Yeah. You know, or you get attacked by something and, you know...
Aliens.
Like a radioactive spider.
Yep. Yeah.
And, like, uh-huh. Also you got... And the thing, a lot of these are actually... a decent chunk of them are kind of based off of literature, because you've got, like Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
Which is... Oh, my God, that game is brutal.
Well, if you read... You know, the original book, it was pretty brutal there, too.
I know. I'm not a big Heinlein fan.
I'll say it again. The movie's better than the book.
That is personal choice and personal opinion.
The movie knew what it wanted to be when it grew up. The book had a goal and then changed it every so many chapters. And it never got to any of them.
Yeah. But it's
very similar to historical. God, what is it? Historical military.
You know what we should do, Derek? We should totally record a session after me and you both reread the book and then rewatch the movie. We should totally record a segment for the patron members of just us debating back and forth.
I will be the timekeeper because I really don't want to waste my bloody time.
Hours.
Yeah, I'm not gonna rewatch the movie. I'm not gonna reread the book.
That's fine.
I No, but I will be happy to be the scorekeeper. I will keep the squirt guns in case you guys get really hot-headed and go, psh, psh, psh. Hey, down, boys.
Pew, pew.
Hey.
Nice.
But you get, I mean, and the thing is, like, there's, you know, there's Star Trek and Star Wars, the RPG. There's Stargate. Mm-hmm. I love you, Stargate.
Oh,
Eclipse Phase.
I was just about to say Eclipse Phase, because, like, we haven't really talked about Singularity stuff that much. Eclipse Phase is the Singularity or post-Singularity, you know, RPG setting.
Yeah, the only one that actually addresses the Singularity.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, really?
Yeah.
Like, it's post-Singularity. Like, they upload everything that you experience, and if anything happens to your body, they just dump it into a new body for you.
Yep.
Gotcha. God, it's like we see that trope so many times in, like, really bad science fiction action movies.
Ugh. Yeah.
But it's, sometimes. It's, yeah. This is, like, designed. It's part of the
game. Yeah, but that's the design of the game, though.
Yeah, sheeping is what they call it. It's brilliant.
It really is.
Sheeping?
Sheathing. Like sheathing. You sheep a knife.
Okay, sorry, I heard sheep.
Nope.
No. Not sheep. That would be no.
Sorry. But yeah, the thing is, though, there's so many with science fiction, there's so many different, you know, it's space adventures, it's tech adventures, it's robots, it's consciousness, it's, you know, mutagenics, mm-hmm. It's
aliens.
So many
we never touched on aliens. I'm not even just mean xenomorphs. I mean just aliens in general.
Yeah. Mm. There's so much to, like we keep saying every time we do one of these, is that we're just scratching, like, we're scratching the enamel. I mean, there's so much more to each one of these settings.
Mm-hmm.
And we can talk about them for hours.
And we have.
And we have. And we probably will keep going back and forth to these from time to time to talk about them again. And new revelations that we've had about things, because that's kind of what we should be doing, mm-hmm. is reevaluating. Especially as a GM, you want to reevaluate these settings and see what things you enjoy and what things you don't. Like I've always said, while I love reading science fiction, and watching science fiction movies and watching science fiction shows, as a general rule, I don't enjoy science fiction games.
You play them so well, sir.
Well, I play one well. Like Cyberpunk and Shadowrun, because it's near future, it's not too far out.
Mm-hmm.
When you get past that kind of, when you break the gravity well, that's where I start to have more problems with them. And it's because of the way that they're designed.
That's true. The world of Firefly is brilliant. The mechanics of the game, you want to bite your head off.
Well, that's Cortex, and that's why.
We should one day get around and play a Red Dwarf campaign.
Well, you're the one
to run it.
No. I don't know any of these things because I've never seen Red Dwarf.
Oh, you should.
Dude, we ought to do like a put up of an episode and just record Zen Dead reacting. I'd love to. Here's the thing that I loved about it is you've both seen Blade 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love it.
I know, but here's the thing that was funny is, you know, we're sitting in the theater and at the same time, me and Osmond look at each other, it's like, oh my god, it's the cat from Red Dwarf. When one of the most coolest, slickest, like silent, really just like, oh my god, he embodied the feeling of assassin. And then we look at the actor, we're like, he's really familiar. And we look at each other like, Red Dwarf, it's cat. And it's really funny because cat in Red Dwarf is like, it is just like, you know, super flamboyant. And he's got like two mirrors. And puts one behind his head, and one of them is like, I look good coming, and going, all right, you know, that kind of stuff. And he's just this super, just like, oh, and I'm like, that actor's brilliant. But, nice. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Goofy stuff, so.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and slide right into our stat blocks.
And now we enter Stat Blocks. This is a segment where you can use something that we've created in your game tonight.
Sadly,
it's Stat Block this week.
It is Stat Block this week.
Oh, great. Put the pressure all on me.
Well,
turn that Stat Block into a Stat Diamond.
To be honest, I've actually been working on making a character for.
Sorry about that.
Rewind.
That was the time for the kitchen.
I've actually been working on doing a serial killer for my Pathfinder game.
Ooh.
Who is a vigilante? Because the way their abilities work, like one of their first abilities is that as the vigilante, nobody can. You can scry on them all day long, but when they go to their alternate identity, you actually can't see them anymore. And their alignment can be completely different.
Oh, that's so kind of like the thing from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, well, except this is...
Sort of.
This is integral to this particular class. And they can, like, do... It's basically, they made Batman. Like, literally made Batman.
I am the knight.
You can, your personality changes, your voice changes, your look changes, your alignment changes.
Insert, where's Rachel here?
So, it's, and I've been working on one because I want to introduce one to my game that's hopefully going to play, well, we're not playing until after the first of the year because holidays and sucking. So, just so you guys know, this will be the last one for this year, and then after the first of the year, we will be starting back up again with more shows, because we are just starting to hit our stride here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's winter. It takes a little bit to get traction sometimes.
Yeah. So, Jules, hit us with your stat diamond.
It's not a diamond. Jeez.
It will be.
God. All of us are born with a destiny, be it great or small. But there are those who steal the segments of the thread of fate, fraying and unraveling the tapestry of kismet. So what happens to the world where the hero was smothered in their crib, or the divine champion embraces corruption? What are the echoes of future that never was? At nexus points in the world where events of great significance were fated to happen, like gaping wounds in reality, holes in the fabric of the world, they appear as rips in the world filled by an inky miasma. The edge where it meets reality looks torn, frayed, like old fabric. The area itself feels almost frozen, static. There's no breeze here, no animal sounds. It's as if time forgot to move on, or couldn't. When someone approaches the area, the stillness is unsettling. The players feel like they're treading on sacred ground, or at least otherworldly ground. The alien stillness makes the area feel sterile, and those who are curious or who know the stories feel drawn to the tears, as if reality itself is reaching out, desperately wanting to tell the player of the days that never came, of destiny denied. When the player approaches the tear, tendrils reach out and grab them. Instantly, the player's mind is filled with memories of a future that never happened. All of it. All the joys and sorrows. All the pleasure and pain. All the triumphs and failures. Every moment that was denied. It floods the player's psyche, rendering them unconscious. When the player regains consciousness, the weight of the experience frays their composure. They may become obsessed with the futile attempt of restoring what was once denied, spending all their time and energy at a futile quest. Or they might have trouble separating the memories of what is and what could have been. And for some, the experience is so great that they eventually become catatonic. But know this, no matter what the player does, his ending has been fixed. When the player eventually falls, another tear is created. You see, the holes cannot be filled. The past cannot be undone. But the tear wants to be filled, needs to be filled. Its singular purpose is to be made whole. So it steals the destiny of those that approach it in a desperate attempt to stitch itself back together, ripping others' threads of fate to suture itself, creating another tear in the process. And it will keep tugging at the threads, stealing the future, until the whole world unravels.
Nice. Sweet. Wow.
What?
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Considering what I went through this week?
I know. And that's surprised? Exactly what I was seeing. Like, I can see that. Oh, wow.
I draw from experience. Let me just put it like that.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, it's just like, okay, is this... I was also wondering, like, oh, is this sounding stupid after I wrote it? I'm like...
Nope, sounds pretty awesome to me.
Too late now!
Yeah, no. No, that is good. Well...
I have a talent for the weird shit.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, folks. We're going to roll right into our next segment, which is...
Lexicon, where we give you cool words to help improve your vocabulary.
You're going to love this one. We've been doing some really weird words and things, and I went with something that was a little more known. And that is Rhapsody.
Bohemian?
Well, of course we'd go there.
Yes. My wife is the same way. She's, you know.
Yeah, but for me, I go to, like, Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue, because it's weird, because it has a... It's not a standard form. It's kind of like improv meets symphonic a little bit. It's like that kind of amalgam.
Mm-hmm.
But
so,
but the literary thing, I'm a little more fuzzy on, because I always think music.
Most people do.
Curse my 16 years of classical music education. 16 years of piano. I can type at 80 words a minute. That's what I got.
Yeah. So, Rhapsody is a noun.
Yes.
And it has, according to Merriam-Webster, it has four definitions that we are going to cover. The first one is a portion of an epic poem adapted for recitation. Now, the second one is archaic, and it is a miscellaneous collection. And our third one is actually broken into, it looks like, three different, like, sub-definitions. And that is a highly emotional utterance, a highly emotional literary work, and I suck at the English language.
Effusively rapturous or extravagant discourse.
See, there you go.
I can read. Sorry.
I can. I just also tumble over words. So. And then our fourth definition is a musical composition of irregular form having an improvisatory character.
He leaps, he stumbles.
I do.
No one makes the first jump.
No, nobody makes the first jump.
Nice.
Yep.
Now, we'll go with one of the examples of Rhapsody in a sentence. Listening to Mozart always left him in a rhapsody that lingered for the remainder of the evening. And I chose that one because I love Mozart.
You and I are going to fight on that one.
No, it's the technical nature of it.
Exactly. Well, also, because for clarinet, the only thing we bloody had for it was the Mozart Clarinet Concerto, and I hated that piece.
Yeah, well, there are many other pieces that he did.
Well, I know, but it colored my whole experience.
Sure. Now, the origin and etymology of Rhapsody. It's Latin of rhapsodia, from the Greek rhapsoeida, something like that. It's Greek, and I don't speak Greek. It's all Greek to me.
No. I'm going to facepalm on that one. Thank you.
No.
He knew he was going to go there.
Yeah. I know. I had to. But that, in particular, the Greek actually is the recitation of selections from epic poetry. That's actually where that's why that one has that definition, is the Greek of it. And there's also it can also mean, if you look, the word is ruptine, which means to sew or stitch together. So it's kind of like there were a couple of steps to where it got to the rhapsody. And its first known use was 1542.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things you're like, dang, really?
Yeah. It's not as old as I would have thought.
Yeah, I thought it was older myself. You're right.
Well,
it's kind of weird.
You see how many steps it took to finally get to rhapsody.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, all right. Well, let's go ahead and hit our closing remarks. Justin, go.
Well, I've been playing Minecraft again. I don't know.
Surprise!
My brother invited me to play along on a new mod he has been taking part in. It's a weird little thing called Nevermind 4. Where a lot of Minecraft mods deal with alternative dimensions, things like that. And, well, Nevermind, or was it Age of Ascension, I think is the other name of it? Or Advent of Ascension, my apology. Basically turns that up to 11, and throws tons of dimensions at you, ranging from weird slime dimensions where creepers run everywhere, to a clown dimension.
What?
Yeah. It's a very strange, very lethal mod pack, but it's a lot of fun. So, yeah.
That.
I said clowns.
My brain. Yeah, but my brain.
But if it makes you feel better, you get to shoot at clowns with nuclear missiles.
Oh, there's that. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of weird. But it's a lot of fun. Highly recommend the mod pack. It's available on the Technic Mod Pack Launcher, and it's free if you're on Minecraft.
Okay.
Oh, neat.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Sweet.
That's fun.
Yeah.
All right. Jules, go for it. What do you got?
All right. It's called ROM. Read Only Memories. It's on Steam. And it kind of has that old, like, 8-bit style with the kind of Telltale Games point-and-click adventure. But it is probably one of the most awesome cyberpunk games I have played in a while. And a lot of it deals with ROMs in this one, aside from Read Only Memory. But they're these kind of like personal assistant, like robotic one. You're an investigative reporter, and all of a sudden, one of them shows up at your door. And right now, right at this point in time, with what's going on, you're playing through the singularity.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Because this little ROM, you don't know if he does have a conscience or a soul or... And there's this, you know, this big standard, typical, intriguey meta plot, of course. But, you know, this little robot's talking to you, and he's just like, I'm angry, and I want to, but I know logically it's not. And it's just, you're listening to it, and you're like, is this the start of the singularity? And it's
fun.
But, and the one thing, it's really, really neat, standard stuff, you know, hoodlums, of course, but... Everyone, it's like, what, like, they're, You know, like, who exactly they are isn't really defined by, okay, the fact that they're a splicer or they're augmented or anything. They all have such a unique personality. And you actually start thinking about, you know, some of the things that are kind of in Deus Ex Human Revolution, that video game, which were a little bit more heavy-handed. But this one, it's, you know, it's just there. There's, you know, these guys are people. What exactly is their genetic makeup or, you know, their lifestyle or what they do? It's like, oh, they're wearing a blue shirt. That's how they kind of, it's standard. And okay. I love that. So I highly recommend it. You're going to love it. The little robot's name is Turing. And I want to hug him so much. He's adorable.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
That is very much fun.
So what do you got, buddy?
Well, I have been playing one of those stupid phone games, like, a lot. And I blame my wife. But it's a game called Pirate Power. And you get a little pirate ship and you blow up other pirates and you make your little town. And it's not really a town. It's more like, here's a couple of buildings and you fight other pirates and you unlock things. And it's all pretty much free. But it's cute and it's...
If you want something, it's on Android too.
Is it? Nice. Okay. Yeah, I've got an iPhone, so I know it's there, but I don't know if it's anywhere else. So.
I just checked my Droid. It's there.
Yay! It's fun. It really is. And it's one of those, it's like, you know, you can, like most of them, you can attach it to Facebook and, you know, annoy your friends with, you know, a bajillion posts about your game. So. Well, yeah, that's mine. It's not much. It's fun.
Hey, sometimes you need just simple, mindless fun and goofballness, you know? Especially with the holidays coming up.
Yeah. You want something that you can, like, you know, just kind of spend 10 minutes playing. I mean, there's a dice game where it's like, you know, you roll 3 dice, you pick whichever ones you want to keep, and then you roll again, and then you're going against a monkey, and the monkey either gets better than you or doesn't. Yeah, oh, there's monkeys in it.
What?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Monkeys.
Yeah, it's silly.
Okay.
It's silly, but it's fun. And yeah, I've been playing it. So, that's mine.
Yay.
Yeah. Oh, and for those who want to, I don't know, I have to find out exactly what the hoo-ha is, but I'm going to start putting, when we talk about game books and stuff, I'm going to start putting links to those on Amazon.
Because or basically, they're PDF only on DriveThruRPG.
Yes, because that's usually what I do for the PDF only stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But with Amazon, I just attached the podcast to an associate account. So that it can, you know, as we promote things, if people buy it, then they will be able to contribute to helping
the
us.
CGM Amazon store, like every other podcast you listen to does this, but we're cooler, so use ours.
Yes, please do. And we're going to start making more announcements about those things, and also the Patreon, because you can't forget that. We are on Patreon at Seize the GM podcast. Yeah, Seize the GM podcast.
You set it up. You ought to know what it's called.
I know. It's been one hell of a week.
Mm-hmm.
I had just saved like a portion of my passwords and everything else from all of my different sites. I found all a bunch of them, and then my computer died. So, all of my PDFs, everything for all of my games that were on there are all gone now. So, I will be working on getting those back from all of the various places that I have purchased them.
And this is why I have mine saved to Dropbox, Google Drive.
That requires
external NAS.
Lots of money that I don't want to put into that just yet, but I'm getting very close to paying for an account on Dropbox.
Well, either that Google Drive, man. I also, if you have Amazon Prime, you have Amazon Storage.
Yeah, which I don't have yet.
Oh.
And my wife has it.
Then use hers for the time being.
Well, she's got her, it's from her boss. Like, it's a work thing, so I can't really use it.
Oh, rats.
Yeah. So
Mine is the, I had the Veruca Salt. I want it now. So, yeah, Amazon Prime.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah, we will be hooking people up with links to all the games that you can purchase from there, and if there are any other places, we will link to them for, you know, PDF or physical book if you want to purchase them through any of those fun little locations. So, and DriveThruRPG does not sponsor us, though we should probably talk to them.
Yep. But the nice thing also with DriveThruRPGs, like, they do have bundles, but also, especially during, like, holidays or when a tragedy hits, the creators of the games will say, hey, yeah, use this, and they'll do a, like they did for the earthquake victims in Haiti.
Yeah, they do a huge bundle, and it's like, pay what you want.
You know, this is
the minimum.
You know, and it's like, it's kind of like the Humble Bundle for RPG games.
Yeah.
And they're really good people, and their customer service is really good, you know? Yeah.
I've had nothing but good things. That's why I use a lot of our links for game stuff is through DriveThru.
Mm-hmm.
Because
so, if you've got a local game store, support your local game store. If you don't have anything near you, support DriveThru RPG.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that is going to wrap us up, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Made a lot of closing remarks, so.
Of course we did.
Well, we'll start getting this down to a managed science eventually. Give us another 20 or 30 episodes, guys. We'll get it. Well.
See you in 2018.
Well, no, but we will see you guys in 2017.
Mm-hmm. And happy holidays to one and all. You know, take care of yourself this holiday season.
Everybody do.
Good luck hiding from evil robots.
From Xmas.
Hanukkah zombie. And Kwanzaa bot too, I think, right?
Kwanzaa bot, yeah. Yep. Alright, guys. It has been a blast, and I will see you guys after the new year. Well, actually, I'll see Jules in about 2 weeks.
Yes. Mayhem IRL. And insanity to follow.
Yeah.
On tape.
And probably a recording of it all.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, we'll sit down and do some work. And it'll be a blast. So we will catch you guys all at the beginning of the new year, and we will be starting up a new thing. Our next episode is going to be because our one patron has spoken, and he wanted to see how we organize games. So that is what we are going to talk about next time, is organizing for your game.
So what you're
saying
is
not do that. You should prepare like you would for a game.
Post-it notes everywhere.
But...
Hence why I said
I should come woefully unprepared.
So we're going to talk about the styles of prep and how each of us do it.
Yeah.
So
I like to call
it people that do that, and some games I'm really good at doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we will talk about that next time on Seize the GM, guys.
Later, all.
Night.
Until then.
You can contact us or the show by using Twitter, Facebook, or regular old email. Our Twitter accounts are at Zended,
at Jules Podcaster,
and at No Operations.
And the show's Twitter account is at Seize the GM.
And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/seizethegm.
You can email questions or comments to the show at admin@seizethegm.com.
You can email me at zendead@seizethegm.com.
Me at jules@seizethegm.com.
And me at nulloperations@seizethegm.com.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Seize the GM. Feel free to leave a comment about this episode on our webpage, www.seizethegm.com. Let the dice fall where they may, and we'll see you again next week.
Seize the GM is released under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share-Alike 4.0 International License. All copyrighted materials referenced herein are held by the respective owners. No infringement is intended, and no claim of ownership is implied.
The music for the show is Dreaming Spirit, off of the album Ghost Machine, by the Enigma TNG. His music is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0, Unported License.